left room.
Okay, right, good morning.
Do you have an extra
gentleman
sheet there?
Yes, this one.
Oh, this is... Oh, okay.
And any ladies that may be listening in. So, we're now approaching Pesach. So, there's a Shaila that came up, a question, a halachic question, which came up a few years ago.
In the back, there was an oral notice that I came in late.
There's a sheet for Professor. We were holding on to that one for you. So a Shaila came up a few years ago of a friend of mine who went to stay with his mother-in-law. And, you know, of course, mother-in-laws can be interesting. And this friend of mine who stayed with his mother-in-law, the mother-in-law, when it comes to Erev Pesach, she's, you know, very, very sensitive about not having chametz around. So, of course, the local bakery sell these crumb-free challahs. Ever heard of such a thing? Crumb-free challahs. I don't know how they do it, what they do. Maybe they boil it. Maybe it's like a more like a bagel.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the Stop and Shop challahs, which are like the most crummy
but
things.
It's very small to
crumbly.
Put everything in mouth.
No. It's a regular challah, but it's like when you break it open, there's no crumbs. Apparently, I don't know. To me, it looked
like wrinkle-free shirts.
It looked like the same as regular challahs, just it was more expensive. The price tag.
To my friend.
So she's makbid, you know, she only has the cram free challahs. And when it comes to a couple of years ago, it was my friend, Erev Pesach fell out on Motzei Shabbos. Pesach fell out on on Motzei Shabbos.
That's been a good long while. It's 10 years ago.
Was it 10 years ago?
Yeah.
No, so it wasn't then. So it was Monday then, or it was Sunday.
Okay.
It was Sunday
it was
night
like
then.
Close.
A couple of years ago, two, three years ago. I remember the guy told me.
The guy told you
fairly recently. Okay. So of course, you know, it's a few days to go to Pesach, and all the house was clean. So what she wanted to do was make kiddush and wash and have bread outside in the sukkah. The sukkah was where they kept all of the they had a shed outside. And that's where they kept all the chametz stuff, and that's where they ate, you know, week before Pesach. That's where we would make kiddush and wash and have chametz.
That's where they would make kiddush.
They. And we may already have worked out who it was, so we can just, and then after that, go inside and continue the meal inside, because it was cold, it was England, and it was raining.
And the rest of the meal, assuming, was there was no chametz.
And the rest of the meal, there was, of course, no chametz. The rest of the meal was made in the Pesach, you know, chametz-free kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that, yes, Mr. Steinberg.
Monday nights, we've been discussing how you can, about making kiddush in one place.
Oh, okay.
And then going to another room. I mean, just one room.
Yeah, that's the halachas of kiddush b'makom sudah, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different, but there's definitely overlap. Where you make the kiddush, that's the place where you have to have the sudah. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of overlap in that.
They were making kiddush.
We're making kiddush. We're having the sudah, so it's not a question of kiddush. I mean, in terms of the kiddush b'makom sudah question, that's fine. The question was, right, that afterwards, right, they were going to bench in the house, right? So making kiddush, hamotzi, and everything out in the sukkah, and then afterwards have the sudah, the whole sudah, the main, you know, bulk of the sudah, but continue that inside without benching. Okay, so. Essentially, we've got two questions over here. There are two questions, which are really three questions. The first one is, are you allowed to do such a thing? I.e., are you allowed to leave the place where you have been having your meal and continue in another place without making your bracha achreina? Right? You've eaten half a meal in such a place. Are you allowed to just uproot your meal and continue, you know, go ahead and continue in another place? Right, that's the first question. Okay. Are you allowed to actually leave the sukkah and go and continue, right, essentially splitting the meal in half? Are you allowed to do that? The second question is, it's more than just a question of benching, right? How about the bracha rishona? How about when you carry on eating, right? Now you've changed, you've moved to a new place. Are you allowed to carry on eating there without making a bracha? You're allowed to rely on the original hamotzi you made outside, or do you need to make a new bracha rishona? Bracha rishona, by the way, we have to get our glossary, get our terms right. Bracha rishona is the bracha before. Bracha achrona is the bracha after, right? Bracha achrona in this case would be benching.
Yeah. When you're talking about moving, it means moving from one place inside another place outside.
So over here we're talking about you are outside the house in the garden, at the end of the garden in the sukkah, in a shed.
Then you went through the garden
and you went into the house.
It's not the same as moving from kitchen.
We're not talking about going from the kitchen to another room. That will come up as well. We'll discuss that.
That's a different problem.
I was going to say, like, what defines a makom? You go to a chasana, and you wash, and they've got the bits of bread over here, and your table is
your table's
300
over there.
Feet away. You know,
and you start your meal over here, and you want to know if you can bench on the other side of the chasana where you end up. Sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, what they used to do, a beautiful minhag is before benching and sheva brachas, everyone would move their chairs and go and sit around the chasana and kalas.
Eliana, we did that. Yeah.
Table.
Yeah.
That's what he did? Over here?
Not at his daughter's wedding.
Nice.
Some people like eating, walking, to walk.
Eating when you're walking. Yep.
So
that's the one question, right? The one question is what's with your previous brachas? Can you rely on the previous bracha to carry on eating? Yeah, another question is, are you allowed to uproot yourself in the first place and move to another place? And the third question is, what about benching? Yeah, what about benching afterwards? That now you had your bread in the first place, and then you went to a different place, and now you're continuing the rest of your meal,
even though
and having
it's
your
in
bread
the same big room.
No. Now we're talking about the Erev Pesach, where a certain person's mother-in-law kicked the whole family into Gullus outside of the house to have their chametz outside the house. Okay, so that would be in a completely different place. Are you allowed to bench in the new place, or do you have to go back to the shed? Okay, so this was after the person raised the question. I had delved around a little bit to try to understand and get some answers to these questions, and I realized that it is a sugya in the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, which we're going to see now, which has two opinions, but really these two opinions are arguing about many different factors, and then when it comes down to the realm of the Rishonim, then there's the numbers of machlokas, the numbers of areas of dispute increase and multiply, and it's a very wonderfully complicated sugya. And hopefully we won't get too complicated, and we'll be able to get a clear cut psak at the end of the day. We'll probably learn this over the next few weeks. Okay, but for now, for today, we will start by having a look at the sugya, the Gemara, which discusses the case of what is known as shinoi makom, moving your place, changing your place. Okay, so again, as I think Richard said, you have to identify what do we mean by makom, what is a makom, what is a place, and do we say that shinoi makom does anything? Does it change anything? That's the discussion. Now, the reason why this Gemara is being discussed in the Gemara we have in front of us, the Gemara in Pesachim, the Perek, the chapter of Arvei Pesachim, which goes through all of the halachas of the Pesach Seder, okay, and these halachas here are coming up on the back of a discussion about Kiddush, okay, about Kiddush, and so on a page which you do not have, there is a machlokas about Kiddush, the Kiddush that we make in a base Knesset, in the shul, right? We make Kiddush in Friday night in the shul. And essentially, right, what's the problem with this Kiddush?
No one's really yotzi.
No one's there. No one's yotzi. Right. So it used to be that people used to have meals in the Ezra's Noshim. People would be staying there. People would be living there. But how about let's say that someone is going to be yotzi. But how about you who are not going to be having your meal in the shul? Right, so let's say there's someone that is yotzi. So the kiddush is a good kiddush. How about you and how about us? Everyone else that's listening to the kiddush, was that a good kiddush for us? Does that work for us? Okay, so here, so we have in the Gemara a three-way machlokes. Unbelievable. Rav says, so you don't have that. I'm sorry, I didn't print this one out. But it's at the bottom of Daf Kuf Amud Base, and it says Amar. Oysam b'nei Adam, these people shekidshu b'beis hakneses that made kiddush in shul, Omar Rav, says Rav, yidei yayin lo yotzu. Yayin, it wasn't good. I.e., when they go home, they have to make a new b'yri prayer gofen on the wine. Yidei kiddush yotzu. But in terms of kiddush, they heard kiddush. They heard kiddush. The kiddush was made on yayin. It was a good kiddush. They're good for kiddush. So when they get home, all they want to do, if they want to have a drink of wine, they can say brit piyagofen. If they don't want to have a drink of wine, don't worry, because I'm tate. Just a bracha without the kiddush, because yidei kiddush yotzu. According to Rav, they already fulfilled their obligation of kiddush. Okay, Ushmuel Amar. Shmuel says, and now you have it right at the top of your page here. Af yidei kiddush lo yotzu. Even kiddush, they did not fulfill their obligation. And the Gemara explains the reason is because ein kiddush ela b'makim seder. Because kiddush has to be in a place of your seder, as to be in the place of the meal. If you're not having the meal there, then you can't be yotzi. You can't fulfill your obligation of the kiddush as well. Mm-hmm. If you skip down to three lines from the bottom of the page, it says V'Rebbe Yochanan.
Okay.
V'Rebbe Yochanan Omar, this is the third shita, the third opinion. Af yidei yayin nami yatsu. Even yayin, even wine, you also fulfilled. Right? What does he mean by even wine?
You don't have to say a bracha.
So you don't have to say.
And how about kiddush?
You're fine.
I, not having read this, I would assume he means kal vachomer if you're...
Yeah, so say we have the opinion of Rav who said, kiddush, you're okay, why not?
Yeah.
And we said, Shmuel, no, nothing works. Yeah. But now we have Rabbi Yochanan on the end who says, no, even wine is good. Everything, you're good. You're good for kiddush, you're good for wine, you're okay. You get home, you can carry on drinking your wine, you are not required to make another bracha.
Oh.
Now...
Three options, there is three different opinions.
Three options. There are no more options.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no opinion.
No, there is another option.
What is
the other option would be you are yotzi yayin, but not kiddush.
But that's not even an opinion here, correct?
That's not an opinion. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that opinion. Okay, but now, the Gemara is now going to discuss what is the reasoning for Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Yayin good, Kiddush good, it's all good. Why does this work according to Rabbi Yochanan? So, says the Gemara, Va'oz the Rabbi Yochanan l'taymi. Rabbi Yochanan, in this discussion about the Yayin of Kiddush in a shul, is going according to his reasoning. He is, as we say, l'shitasoi. According to his opinion, it works, because we have Rabbi Yochanan saying an opinion elsewhere. Da Omar Rabbi Chanin bar Abaye, Omar Rabbi Pedas, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Chanin, the son of Abaye, says in the name of Rabbi Pedas, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, right, this is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Echad Shinoi Yayin, Ve'echad Shinoi Makoim, Ein Tzarech Levarich. Whether it's you're changing your wine, or you're changing your place, you're changing your makim, you are not required to make a new bracha.
What does it mean changing your wine?
That you had a new wine, a second wine, another type of wine.
Another glass.
Now, this I believe is yeah, so this is talking about the bracha of Bayer Pere Goffin, because there's another bracha that we make as well. If you have wine which was brought to you and you had wine, and then a second bottle of wine was brought to you in the middle of the meal, and it's a nicer bottle of wine, then we have another bracha. We make a bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv, which is the bracha on good news, good tidings. Yeah, so you're having a nice glass of wine. There's someone, another bottle, wow, okay. Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, Baruch Hashem, I got another delicious bottle of wine over here. So
it has to be of superior
quality. So that, Rabbi Yochanan, I believe, is superior quality. It's a superior equal quality. There are many, many conditions that have to be present in order to say HaTov HaMeitiv. So much so that... Dan, do you want us to move?
Not at all. Okay. I'm sorry if I'm disrupting.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Not at all. So there are many conditions. So much so that many people, because for a lack of knowledge of, you know, or they've been told once by a rabbi that there's so many conditions that, you know, it's very difficult to find a case where you'll ever have to make a bracha. So people miss out on the opportunity of making a bracha, and don't end up making the bracha. But as I said, we have to learn halachas so we can, you're not exempt from making the bracha just because you don't know the halachas. Mm-hmm. So you have to know them. You have to learn them. We have to learn them. So Rabbi Yochanan is not countering that. Yes, you definitely have to make HaTov HaMeitiv, but he's saying, in terms of the Bayer Pere Goffin, just because it's a different wine, you don't have to make a bracha. Echad Shino Yayin, regardless of whether it is a change of wine or a change of place, you don't need to make a new bracha.
This is Zult speaking.
Well, this is Rabbi Yochanan. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says, you heard Kiddush in Shul, and you had a Bayer Pere Goffin there, you get home, you're good for the Bayer Pere Goffin.
You can drink without...
You can drink without making a new Bayer Pere Goffin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Echad Shino Yayin Ve'echad Shino Makoim Ein Tzarech Levarich. Yeah, if you have a change of place, you do not need to make a new bracha. Okay, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a contradiction and a question on Rabbi Yochanan based on from a Braisa. Okay, a Braisa is an authoritative Tanaic source, and therefore it will be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. So let's see this. The top line, Meisvei. Meisvei introduces an attack question from a Tanaic source, from a Braisa. Meisvei, Shinoi Makoim, Tzarech Levarich. Shena Yayin, Ein Tzarech Levarich. Changing your place, you need to make a bracha. Changing your wine, you don't need to make a bracha. What do we see here? This is a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. This is a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, doesn't matter whether it's a change of wine or a change of place, you don't need to make a bracha. In this price, we see wine, that you're okay. You don't need to make a bracha when you change your wine. But if you change your place, there you do need to make a new bracha. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan Tiyufta. This is a, what we call a TKO to Rabbi Yochanan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, TKO? You,
sure.
Technical knockout.
Yeah.
You have to explain it.
This is the Mahler from Minsk. You don't need to explain.
This is a technical knockout. Yeah, what I don't know how it works in boxing or wrestling or whatever.
It means it's not a real knockout, but the referees counted it as.
Oh, one second. Oh, what's TKO? Oh, so this is KO. Sorry, this is a KO. This is a knockout. Yeah, this is a knockout.
You're talking about boxing. A knockout means they make the man unconscious by hitting him in the head.
Yeah.
It's a knockout.
Yeah,
this is a knockout. Yeah, to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said when you have a shenoy makom, you change your place, you don't need to make a bracha. Here we have a brisa that says you do need to make a bracha. So is the Gemara Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan Tiyufta?
Because you're glossing over change of place. It's Suppose I'm sitting in a seat in an airplane. Am I changing my place? The airplane is
good. We have to. I think you may have missed a few moments at the beginning. Well, we have to define. We will have to define our terms. At some point, we will have to define our terms. At some point. At this point, we will just go. We'll just call it a change of place. Rashi, I'll tell you what Rashi says, although it is disputable and up for discussion. But Rashi says mimakim lemakim, from place to place, mibayis la'aliyah, from the house to the attic. Now, according to Rashi, that is a place. Therefore, it would be implied that if it's in the same room. Yeah, then that wouldn't be considered a place. It's only when you're going from the house to the attic. Question is, what's an attic? Is that the same as like another room, from one room in the house to another room in the house, or is that like a different domain entirely? Okay, we'll have to get there. But we'll put it on the back burners for now, if I have your permission.
But now we're talking about.
I shouldn't have said airplane. I should have said I'm sitting in a wagon.
In an enclosed.
I thought you meant airplane, then you moved to a different seat in the airplane. So that is the rishus. That's the domain. You're in an airplane.
Discussion.
I came in later.
Because there's a million questions about where to go.
We have to take. We have to take all the questions. We have to take the questions individually. We have to handle each one individually. Okay, so we have a knockout for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shinoi makom, einoi tzarech levarich. A change of place does not require any bracha. And the Braisa says, Shinoi makom, tzarech levarich. You change your place, you are required to make a new bracha. Now, the Gemara goes further. And we're going to bring now a qualification. Okay, the Gemara is now going to qualify when we. I'm unsure as to whether this is answering up for Rabbi Yochanan, but it could provide an answer.
But this is what the last
Rabbi Yochanan didn't seem to give a qualification. Rabbi Yochanan said across the board, you change your place, you're not required to make a new bracha. Okay, the Braisa seemed to say across the board, when you change your place, you do need to make a new bracha. Okay, but now the Gemara is going to qualify this statement. The statement that we said that Shinoi Makom does require a new bracha, we're now going to qualify it. Okay, when I say qualify it, we're going to define it. We're going to define in which case are we saying this halacha. So says the Gemara, Yasiv Rav Idi. Rav Idi sat, Bar Avin, the son of Avin, Kamei de Rav Chizda. He sat in front of Rav Chizda, V'yasiv Rav Chizda, and Rav Chizda was sitting down also, V'ka'amar, and Rav Chizda said, Mishmei de Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Huna. We've lost half our players over here.
I have to make a quick phone call.
Okay.
But continue.
Okay. Okay, so Rav Chizda sat down, and he said, in the name of Rav Huna. Ha da amras shinoi makom tzarich levarich. This that we say shinoi makom requires a new bracha. Loi shanu. This was only taught ella mibayis lebayis. This was only taught with regards to from one house to another house. Aval mimakom lemakom loi. However, from a place to a place, it wasn't taught. Now, what does this mean?
What does it mean?
What do you think it means?
He's saying that you don't have to make a new bracha, you just rely on the first bracha.
When?
You move from one place to another place.
Okay. However,
the first question was the Kiddush and Shul.
We've already passed that. We've already passed the Kiddush and Shul. Well, I mean, it could be the Kiddush and Shul, but the question is now, what about the wine? What about the wine when you come home? Again, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara qualifies this statement. We said, this statement that we say, this statement that we said that Shinoi Makim requires a new bracha, Loi Shanu Ella, this was only taught Mibayis Labayis, in a case of from one house to another house. Aval, however, Mimakim Lemakim, Loi. But from one place to another place, no, it wasn't taught. It doesn't apply. What do we mean? What are you trying to say here?
Another place is not home. What is place? This is
well, what does it mean from one house to another house?
It means you need to go outside.
Okay.
This place is place in another part of shul.
Okay. And what does it mean from one place to another place?
There's different rooms in shul.
Let's say. I mean, from house to house, that's very distinct.
No, houses, there is different buildings. Okay.
Well, makim to makim would be not as far as house to house.
No place, people, you stay, somebody said, broken one place, you would go to another place, whereas with another room, whereas...
Yeah, again, good, okay. The point is, at this point, we don't necessarily know how far away this place is, but we know it's in one house.
Yes, inside house.
That we know it's in one house. We definitely know it's in one house. So the Gemara qualifies like this. When we said that in the Braisa, we said that Shinoi Makim requires a new bracha, Rav Huna says that's only when you're changing from house to house. But when you're in one house, from makim le makim, whatever we mean by that, whether it's one room to another room, or from one side of one room to another side of the room, but as long as you're not going outside, ein sarach levarach. That you don't need to make a new bracha. Okay? You see this? This is a very clear distinction, a very clear qualification. A very clear qualification.
This
is still arguing on Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay.
Because Rabbi Yochanan said, from shul to home,
you should not do anything.
You don't need to make a new bracha. Now we're saying, oh, that for sure you do, because that's mibayis labayis.
Because from house to house.
That's from house to house. That would be considered from house to house. However, mimakim lemakim, from one place to another place, that you don't need to make a bracha. Hatzlacha.
Duty calls, unfortunately.
Aye. Same. Yeah, but from one place to another place within one house, that does not require you to make a new bracha. Okay? This is qualification number one. Okay, we have this clear? That when we say the rule that Shinoi Makim requires a new bracha, that's only when it's from house to house.
But this is what kind of galacha, or this is another opinion?
We're in the discussion of the Gemara.
But there is no name who said this way?
This is Rav Huna.
Ah, somebody else.
Yep. This is arguing on Rabbi Yochanan, but remember, yeah. we were KO. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan is out of the water. But we still have the Braisa, and the Braisa says that Shinoi Makim requires a... Shinoi Makim requires a new bracha. Now we're qualifying. When we said it requires a new bracha, it's not in every case. If you're in one house, it doesn't require a new bracha. But if you're going mibayis lebayis from house to house, that does require a new bracha.
But practically, good to have bracha and shul.
At this point, based on this qualification, we would say that when you make a bracha and shul and you go home, you need to make a new bracha.
Why say this bracha? If this is bracha, doesn't make...
You're talking about, one second, remember, we only used the Kiddush in Shul to segue into this discussion. This is now a new discussion. The discussion of Shinoi Makim. That is a discussion of Kiddush b'makim Suda. You have to make Kiddush in the place where you're having the meal. That's another discussion. Why do we make Kiddush over there in Shul? That is a very good question. The answer is because back in the old days, people used to live in the shul. They used to have their meals in the shul. Nowadays, people don't have their meals in the shul. It is very, 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 very halachically complicated to actually continue to make kiddush in shul. That's the reason why it's a custom. It's a minhag. That's the reason why if there are no children to drink the wine, then we won't make kiddush. Yeah, we only make kiddush when there are children to drink the wine. Why? Because you're not allowed to drink the wine if you aren't having the meal in this place, because you're not allowed to drink before making kiddush. So we're going to say that kiddush doesn't really.
Somebody should drink it.
Someone has to drink it, but an adult can't drink it because it's not really a kiddush, because they're not having their meal here.
Yeah, okay.
And if you haven't really made kiddush, then you're not allowed to eat anything or drink anything before making kiddush. That's why when there's no child here, then we won't make kiddush. We don't make the kiddush. The fact that we make kiddush in the first place, but when a child is here, it's based purely on minhag.
Yeah, but
there are the minhag is only upheld by old shuls, by old shuls. Any new shul that completely abolishes there's no such thing as this minhag. No one keeps this minhag. In Israel, there's hardly any, even the old shuls in Israel, I may have been to one once where they made kiddush.
That means not every shul has kiddush on Friday?
They don't make kiddush in the shul on Friday night. Everyone makes kiddush at home. Who's this kiddush for?
No, yeah, what I ask you, if you need to say another one, what does that
mean? Yeah, you have to.
It means it's kind of custom.
It's a custom, it's a minhag, which is...
Part of the...
Yeah, but it's very difficult.
Why usually Philip kids drink wine?
Yeah, that's why the kids drink it. The kids drink it.
Sometimes we have one or two people, or maybe more, having their meal in shul on Friday night after. So we're back to that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And still, the kiddush is made and given to the children.
No more kiddush over there. Yeah, we're not yotze. Yeah, the kiddush is given to the children, and when they have their own meal, they'll make their own kiddush.
Ah.
Rafael has Friday night dinner downstairs in the shul, but he makes his own kiddush.
We got other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Why? Because we're not yotze. We don't fulfill our obligation with this kiddush. We don't. So if we don't fulfill, even if we would be in the ideal situation where someone is eating in the shul, we don't fulfill our obligation with the kiddush. It's a pella. It's very, very, it's bizarre that we do still make the kiddush. But it's upholding the minhag, and that's what we do. But that was just, we use that to segue. Yeah, now we segued into discussion, but let's say that it was a good kiddush and someone heard it and someone was yotzi, someone fulfilled their obligation. I also heard it. Now, what about when I get home? Am I allowed to continue with this bracha? Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan said, yes, yeah, you don't need to make a new bracha. We, now the Gemara, brought a brisa, which conflicted Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and said that Shinoy Makom requires you to make a new bracha. Now, we qualified this as saying, when we said that you need to make a new bracha with Shinoy Makom, that's only from bias le bias, from one house to another house. However, from one place in a house to another place in a house, that does not require a new bracha. Yeah, based on this, if you would make Beirei Pri HaGafen, we'll still talk about wine at this point. If you would make Beirei Pri HaGafen upstairs, yeah, forget Kiddush Makom Seder, just stump. You'd sit here, you'd make Beirei Pri HaGafen upstairs, and then you'd go downstairs, or you'd go to the kitchen, and you want to carry on drinking, you don't need to make a new bracha. Based on this. Mm-hmm. If you would go outside and back in, yeah, outside to a new place, then you would need to make a new bracha.
In the original place?
We're not talking about bracha achreina.
No, I'm talking about
bracha rishona. No, I mean, you were eating here, and then you went into your car. Do you need to make a new... You went onto the bus. Do you need to make a new bracha? According to this, yes, you would be required to make a new bracha.
No, because this is, it's still, because this is the same kiddush. If you after you eat and you say...
Forget kiddush.
No, but not kiddush.
No kiddush.
Because you did not say bracha after the food.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, let's hold off on the bracha achreina. Let's hold off on the after bracha for now. Okay, you're asking a good question. Let's hold off on the after bracha. Let's just talk about the bracha rishayna, the before bracha. What comes out of this would be that if you drank a glass of water and you drank it here, and then you went to the kitchen, you can continue drinking without a bracha. If you went outside, you'd need to make a new bracha. Yeah, this is the qualification that we said. When the situation that we said that shinoi makom requires a new bracha is only mibayis lebayis, from one house to another house, or from inside the house to outside the house, but mimakom lemakom, from one place to another place, in the bayis, in this house, that does not require you to make a new bracha. Good. Qualification number one.
What if you have an error between the two? You got a courtyard and the houses are all within the same area.
Good question. I don't know.
At this point, too much complication.
That doesn't qualify and say bias labias. But if there's an eruv, then it's still one. No, two houses are still two houses, whether there's an eruv between them or not. The whole domain is called a private domain, but it's still separate private domains. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, that's qualification number one, okay? In this qualification, it doesn't matter what you're eating, okay? Just to, so you got this in your mind. Whether you were eating bread in this room, and you moved to another place, moved to another room, and you carried on eating your bread, you don't need to make a new bracha. If you had water in this room, you went to another room, you don't need to make a bracha. If you went outside, you were drinking water, you went outside, went to another house, you need to make a new bracha. You were having bread, and you go to another place, another house, you need to make a new bracha. Because the only qualification we have, we're not talking about bracha achrein at the moment.
Okay.
The only qualification we have is, are you going mibayis lebayis, or are you going mimakim lemakim? Okay, that's the only qualification. No difference, no distinction in terms of what type of food. No distinction at all. Only lebayis lebayis or makim lemakim. Is it a shinui makim? Shinui makim meaning a considerable change of place, house to house, or is it not considered a shinui makim?
It means for food you need to go to say another hamotzi to wash the hand again.
You would hand washing is would be perhaps a different question, because hand washing is about cleanliness of the hands. As long as you had in mind that your hands were still clean, then perhaps moving to a new place wouldn't necessarily render your hands dirty, if you still had in mind, my hands are still clean. So hand washing is not a thing, but another hamotzi, or another shakol on water.
What does it mean your hands are still clean?
Okay, the only qualification we have is it what's considered a shinui makom? Shinui makom, what's considered shinui makom? Bayis lebayis. But if it's not a shinui makom, from room to room, or from one side to one side, it's fine, you're okay with the bracha. Good. Qualification number one. Let's see the Gemara further, and we'll see another qualification. Okay, we're going to skip down a little bit, and we see... it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 11, 11 lines down. In the middle of the line, it says Vasu.
Yeah.
Professor, got it?
Yep. Can't even see the page.
Would you like large print next time? Okay, Vasu Yasiv Rav Chisda v'ka'am ha-mishmei. And then Rav Chisda was still sitting down, and he said, remember, he said this in the name of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, depends, is it a shinui makom or is it not a shinui makom? Bayis lebayis, yes. Is a shinui makom? Makom and makom is not a shinui makom. Now, Rav Chisda continues sitting down, and he said, "V'ka'ama mishmei de nafshe," and he said, in the name of himself. He said his own opinion. He said his own qualification. Ha de amras shinoi makim tzarech levarich. This that we said, shinoi makim, requires a new bracha. Loi amran, ella, we only said this, b'dvarim she'ein t'unin bracha la'achareihen b'mekayman. We only said this regarding things, foods, which do not require the after bracha to be made in their place. Aval, however, devarim hatu'unim bracha la'achareihen b'mekayman, ein tzarech levarich. However, things which require you to make the after bracha in their place, those you do not need to make a bracha. My timer. What's the reason? Lekiv'a kama hada. Because you are returning to the original kavius. Kavius means you are fixed, you're set, you are solidly involved in something. Kavius, right? You are returning to your original kavius. Again, let's just say the words again before we explain it. This that we said, that shinui makim requires a bracha, is only regarding devarim she'ein t'unim bracha la'achareihen b'mekayman, is only regarding things which do not require a after bracha to be made in their place. Aval,
exactly the same place where you did everything else.
Where you ate it.
Where you ate. Where you made the original bracha and ate.
Yes. Okay. Aval, however, devarim hatu'unim bracha la'acharim b'mekayman, however, things which require the after bracha to be made in their place, ein tzarech levarich. On that, you do not need to make a bracha.
Which bracha? An after bracha or before bracha?
Before bracha. Okay.
You don't have to make a new before bracha.
Yes. When you change your place.
Before bracha.
Remember, well, this is a discussion. The discussion is, remember, our question is the shaila. The discussion is, the halacha is, that shinoi makim, when you change your place, tarich levarich, you need to make a bracha. We said our first qualification is, this is only mibayis labayis. You need to make a bracha. But mimakim lemakim, you don't need to make a bracha. Now, Rav Chisda says a new qualification. The qualification is, when we said that a shinoi makim, a change of place, yeah, requires a new after bracha, requires a new bracha, rishona, a before bracha, this is only by tevarim she'ein t'unim bracha la'achareihen b'mekayman, things which do not require the after bracha to be made in their place. However, things which require you to make the after bracha in their place, they do not need a new bracha when you change your place.
Say that again, please.
I will say it as many times as you like. And probably as many times I say it, we're not going to understand it anymore. Yeah. You should. It should start to. Or at least you'll hear it. You'll hear it more, and you'll get used to the words. Okay.
Say something. By example, what actually?
One second. But Mr. Steinberg wants to hear it once more. Okay, we'll say it once more, and then we'll try to explain what this means. Okay, this is cryptic. No.
It's not the way to do it. What you have to do is you have to take the cases. First and second bracha made exactly in the same place. First bracha made here. Second bracha made.
I would like us to put in a little bit of toil into understanding it as well. Okay. All
right.
And if it means you're getting a bit confused, that's all a part of the toil. Part of the amelis. That's good. Okay. That's toil.
You may have to make diagrams.
We may do. This that we said, that when we, right, remember, what's the halacha? The halacha is shinoi makim tzarech levarich. You change your place, you need to make a new bracha. Says Rav Chisda, that's only with things which do not require the after bracha to be made in their place. But things which do require the after bracha to be made in their place, that you don't need to make a new bracha. Now, let's qualify and clarify our terms first. Okay, let's clarify our terms, because what does this mean? Devarim hatu'unim bracha la'achareim b'mekayman, devarim she'ein tu'unim bracha la'achareim b'mekayman. By the way, we have to have these concepts. We have to, because that's how we're going to be saying, because I'm not going to speak the English, because the English is just too wordy and too lengthy. We'll just be using the Hebrew. Devarim hatu'unim bracha la'achareim b'mekayman means things which require the after bracha to be made in their place. What are we referring to? Okay, the answer is, it's a little bit of a machlokes. It's a little bit of machlokes, but everyone agrees that bread, hamaitzi, when you wash in this in a certain place, you have to make the after bracha in that very same place. Okay, why? Because it is a davar, it is a thing, it is a foodstuff which the after bracha is required to be said in the place that it was eaten. Devarim hatu'unim bracha, things which require the bracha ba'achareihan, after bracha, b'mekayman, in their place.
There are other things
too. Mezoinos, as well, is agreed upon, is accepted, that is a davar hatu'unim bracha la'achareihan b'mekayman. Fruits of the seven species, I believe that's also agreed upon. Wine, I think, is up for discussion. Wine is one of the things which is up for discussion. But what we're not gonna go into the which ones and yes, is it bread? Are we talking? We're gonna have a whole category of foodstuffs, and that category of foodstuffs we are gonna call Devarim Hatu'unim Bracha La'achareihan b'mekayman. The things which the after bracha has to be said in their place. That means that if you had a piece of cake and you had pizza in Cafe Lat, yeah, and then you walk down the road to go to Israel Bookshop and you remembered, Oyvei, I forgot to bench. Yeah, what's the halacha?
To go back.
You have to go back.
What if you're carrying the pizza?
Why? Because it's there. Yeah,
and okay. Eating along the way.
Good question. This is our question. This is part of our question. This is part of our question. We'll see how the Gemara. We'll see how the Gemara understands. We'll see. The answer is that you make the bracha. You bench in the bookstore, but we'll understand why in a few moments. Okay. So this is the category we're saying. This is the category of things which the bracha achrona is required to be said in the place that it was eaten. We're going to call that devarim hatu'unim bracha la'achareihan b'mekayman. Okay. There's another category, which is devarim she'ein tu'unim bracha la'achareihan b'mekayman, things which do not require the after bracha to be said in their place. That is a drink of water, a pack of crisps, a pack of chips, fruits which are not of the seven species. Yeah? So these are devarim she'ein tu'unim bracha la'achareihan b'mekayman, meaning that if you had a glass of water and then you ran out, yeah, you were in a hurry, you forgot to make an after bracha, now you're driving in your car, make a bracha achrona in your car. You don't need to go back home to make the bracha achrona. Okay? This is a halacha. This is another halacha. What is this the halacha of? This is the halacha of the after bracha.
What okay? About debayavet? Suppose you did make the bracha in the car. Is it good or isn't it?
Benching, you mean?
Well, when you were supposed to go back to the original place, but you didn't.
Oh, by Devarim Hatu'unim Brachalach
Reimim Kaiman. You made it in the car regardless. You didn't know, or you did know, whatever, you did it. Is it good or not?
I believe that it is good. To unim, when we say Devarim Hatu'unim Bracha, the things which require the after Bracha to be said in this place, I think that's only a Chatzchila. But B'diyeved, I think you are Yotzi. After the fact, post facto, I think you fulfill your obligation. A priori.
Okay.
A priori.
A priori. Does that mean lechatzchila? How do you translate lechatzchila?
I don't know what a priori means exactly. Barry knows.
I'll say yes.
And you know what he's going to do after this year?
A priori means obviously.
Okay. That's something else. An a priori argument is a kal v'chomer. That's how they translate a kal v'chomer. That's a kal v'chomer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. A priori. I think they or I've heard Rabbi Yitzchak Breitowitz. I don't know if you've heard of him. Rabbi Yitzchak Breitowitz. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He's American. But he's a very big Talmud Chacham and a very knowledgeable man with wisdom of the world, and he's very, very well spoken, and that's how he's explained a kal v'chomer. He's translated a kal v'chomer as an a priori argument. Anyway, so lechatchila, these are the things which the after bracha you have to say in the place. Now, again, this is the after bracha. This is the halacha. The after bracha is not necessarily part of the discussion. It's not the part of the discussion over here. This discussion is the before bracha. But we're saying if you look at the after bracha, that will show you about the before bracha. Things which the after bracha is required to say in their which way round does he say? Yeah, things which do not require the after bracha to be said in their place, that you need to make a new before bracha, a new bracha rishona when you go to a new place.
You have to start all over again.
Which the after bracha, devarim hatunim bracha lacharim b'mkoyman, things which you are required to say the after bracha in the original place of eating, that does not require a new bracha when you move to a new place. Says the Gemara, my timer, what's the reason? Lekivo kamahada, because you are just returning to the original kvius, the original fixed state of eating. Just, you're now in a new place. You're now in a new location. But you're returning to your original state of eating. Now, are you planning on staying till 10 o'clock?
No, I'm going to go.
You're
going to
go. So should we stop here and we'll explain it?
No, I stay here for this class, but I don't stay for...
Fine, but I mean, we can stop here or should we go on for another 5 minutes?
That's up to you.
It's up to you.
We can continue next year.
We're gonna explain this in more detail, based on right over here. We've seen the words of the Gemara. We haven't seen Rashi. Rashi will shed a little bit of light on what's going on, and we'll see some of the other commentaries and how they explain what this means. Yeah, these very cryptic ideas. At least now we have an idea of our terms. We know what we're talking about. Things which the after bracha is required to say in their place, that you don't need to make a new before bracha when you move to a new place. Why? You're just returning back to the original kavius.
Just to clarify, that's what an example would be. I'm eating bread here. I made the bracha.
As the example would be,
I carry my bread to the bookstore and continue eating there, and then I come back here with or without the bread and make the.
One second. Forget after. Forget the after bracha. We're just discussing the before bracha. Okay, so half that case. You're eating cafe latte. You washed. Let's say you washed on the pizza, or you made a mezonos on the pizza, and you started. You had a slice of pizza. Then you took your other slice of pizza and you carried it to the bookstore. Now, pizza is one of the devarim hatu'unim bracha lacharim b'kayman. Things which require the bracha after bracha to be said in their place. Therefore, you don't need to make a new bracha. Rishona. When you go to the bookshop, you can just carry on eating and you don't need to make a new hamaitzi. However, if you took some water, you drank some water in Cafe Lat and you went to the bookshop, water is not one of the things which is Dvarim She'ein Tu'unim Bracha L'Acharim B'Kayman. One of the things which does not require the after bracha to be said in their place, you can say the after bracha anywhere, then when you move to a new place, you need to make a new before bracha. Why? What is the svara? What's the logic behind this? That we're going to see next week. Okay, and the logic behind this is going to be pivotal to understanding the sugya and to be able to apply the halacha. Apply the halakha to relevant cases, to cases that actually come up, because we have to understand the rules, we have to understand the principles, right? Just as we started learning Gemara, we gave this introduction and explained that the challenge of Torah Shebal Peh, the challenge of the fact that the oral Torah is written down, is the fact that now we no longer have rules, we have examples. Yeah, so we have to take the examples, we have to reverse engineer to find what the principle, the rule, what is the rule, what is the bottom line halakha, and then we're going to be able to apply it to other cases. So the logic and the rules and the mechanics, the mechanism and the technicalities of how these cases work, that's the important factor. And that's why we spend so much time breaking apart a sugya. Yeah, it's not splitting hairs. It's not splitting hairs. I heard recently from Rabbi that explains that a Talmudist is like a chemist. Yeah, we're chemists. What does a chemist do? A chemist takes a substance and it breaks. Yeah, the chemist breaks the substance down into its individual elements. Yeah, and it breaks apart the substance and it tries to understand this substance based upon the different elements and the different factors that affect the individual elements. And when you understand, you see all of these elements and how they work, then you're able to put the substance back and understand how the substance works.
Let me sneak in one last question, because you're going so fast.
Yes.
With the water. I got a bottle of water.
Water.
And I drink half of it at Cafe Olat, and I carry the other half to the bookstore. And I don't have to make a new bracha at the bookstore.
Of course you do.
I do have to make it. Okay, but that's... Now I'm going to change it. I drink all the water at Cafe Olat. I don't make bracha achrona. I walk to the bookstore, and I buy a new bottle of water there and start drinking that one. Do I make a bracha on the new water there, both Rishona and Achrona?
Rishona, you can answer.
Yeah. Of course.
What's the... Well, the more so. You didn't even carry the water with you.
I would have thought, why?
That's even more. That's a priori. Yeah, because if you carried the water with you, perhaps I would have thought, well, I've got the water in my hand. Maybe my mind is still on this water. Maybe I can keep the bracha. But we say, no. Yeah, so a priori, that if you bought a new bottle of water, then, yeah, kosher came.
Good.
Bracha achrona, you can also answer that.
I would.
You can. Do you have to go back to Cafe Lat?
I should.
No.
No, I don't. I shouldn't.
No. Why? Because water is one of the tevarim she ain't to unim bracha lacharim mitkamen. The bracha acharina does not need to be made in place.
Okay, now the rest of my question.
Again, remember, there's two separate halachas. There's a halacha of bracha acharina, there's a halacha of bracha rishayna.
We're running out of time. It's not water, it's bread. I had a roll at Cafe Olat, yeah? Now, two cases, I carry it with me and keep eating in the bookstore. It's not a nice thing to do, but that's okay. What I did. The other case is, I stopped eating there, I did not make any bracha, walked over to the, wherever it is, bookstore, got a new roll.
From the bookstore?
Yeah.
They sell rolls as well?
There's somebody there selling rolls.
Okay. When the butchery was closed.
And ate it. Yeah, the butchery was closed that day. Okay. That's different.
Now, what would you say? Have we seen anywhere that there should be a distinction?
So.
You're making a distinction of whether you carry the thing there or whether you purchase a new thing there. So. Yeah, we haven't seen anywhere that it should make a difference.
So that would be like a continuation of eating the bread?
Even if you bought a brand new roll of bread?
Brand new one. I stopped eating that, definitely stopped, but didn't finish, didn't make the bracha.
Well, you didn't bench, and now you want to carry on eating, then you don't need to make a new bracha.
But it's like a new eating.
A court based on this Gemara.
Okay,
but for bread, you're not required to go back to benching.
No, it's devarim. That's after bracha. After bracha, devarim had to unim bracha lacharim koyman. You have to make the after bracha in a place.
You can move.
But the before bracha, that you.
It means you go from one place to another place to say a new bracha because of the. It's
you don't need to make a new bracha.
No, but from house to house. I go five places. You know, each new place, I should say new brocha.
On what?
For example, hamotzi.
Hamotzi?
Yeah.
Where do you see that? We said no. We said only by Devarim She'ein, to Bracha Lacharei Mekomen. When it's things which do not, the after bracha are not required to be said in that place. Remember, that concept means water.
It's not from house to house. If for bread, you should not say because this is bread.
Because bread is one of the things. Tavarim had to unim bracha lacharim mekomen.
But you should not say anything, but return to the first place to say.
That we also didn't say.
No, where should say bracha after?
Good question.
No, but this is the reason why you should not say another brocha only because
good.
It's bread.
Excellent.
It means need to go back.
It's a very, very, very. It's a very interesting thing. We'll have to see. The halacha is right, and we have to get our heads around this and understand why. This is why I understand what I'm saying. Before asking too many questions, we have to get the logic. We have to get the logic and understand it. The halacha is though that if you right, even though. Bread is one of the things which after bracha is required to be set in place. If you go to a new place and you carry on eating with the new after bracha, that's where you're going to bench. What do you mean? But I thought you had to go to back to plate. We have to understand the logic.
I think a priori means obvious.
That's what Akadi said. Obvious.
But this is Greek.
Yeah, and I think that's a kavachayma. That's how we define a kavachayma.
This is probably for Greece. A priori.
Not Latin? I think it's Latin, no?
No, Latin, Greek, Latin.
Sounds Greek.
Greek and Latin is the same
thing?
No,
but it sounds Greek. Sounds Greek.
No, Greek, Latin, there's a difference?
Of course it's different.
What is different?
Yeah. Greek and Latin are completely different worlds.
Different languages.
Latin is before the...
Professor, you have a sheet there?
Before the Italian, yeah.
Well...